From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Wednesday edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Parham, Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio this morning. Obviously, baseball remains a topic on the minds of a lot of Ole Miss fans following last night's 6-5 loss to Arkansas State in Jonesboro. The Rebels had a 5-0 lead in the eighth inning. Arkansas State comes back. I think it was 2 in the eighth and 4 in the ninth, including the walk-off. It was a single that was going to tie the game. Ryan Olenek missed it in center field, and Arkansas State scored the winning run in that one. So 6-5 last night. Rebels head to Tennessee on a 4-game losing streak, and it feels like that Sunday in Baton Rouge was a long time ago right now. So, it feels like a little more than 10 days or whatever it was. But we'll talk a little about that today. We've got Ross Dellinger on the podcast, the writer from Sports Illustrated. You all know him, Mississippi native, all that stuff. He spent time with Rich Rodriguez. Mike McIntyre had a story on SI.com about the two new Ole Miss coordinators, and he knows a ton about LSU, so we'll probably talk some Louisiana stuff. The Pelicans get the number one pick in the NBA draft, so Zion Williamson headed to the Big Easy.
Memphis gets the second pick.
Yeah, it was kind of a good night for this region last night, if you will. So we'll discuss all that. Coming up on the podcast, brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Blue Sky there on Highway 6 West. Lunch specials are $4.99, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drink. Pick up some ribs tonight on the way home. Bring me a daiquiri if you would like. Those things available at Blue Sky and the Oxford Exxon there on Highway 6 West. Good coming to you from the Clark Ford Studio.
Yeah, let's see what time is as we tape this. It's 8:13, and a daiquiri sounds good right now.
I have had a drink sitting right here earlier in the day before. So
You have.
8:13 was a little late that day.
You got up that day and walked right to the liquor cabinet and just poured yourself one. I didn't stop you till about the fourth one, and it wasn't because you were
like, well, we do have a press conference at some point later today.
I said, hey, man, you do know we're probably going to have to write something a little later. You can drink all of my bourbon if you want, but. Just thinking out loud. We are coming to you from the Clark Ford Studios. Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900. 662-257-1900. Call the number. Ask for Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford you're looking for. He'll send you a quote within 15 minutes in business hours. Really, if you think you're in the market for a vehicle, if you think you're about to be in the market for a vehicle, if you like this podcast, you like one of us, both of us, kind of like one of us, whatever the case may be, do us a favor. Call Corey. Get a quote. At the very least, it's going to be a baseline for you moving forward. And I have a feeling it's going to surprise you. Corey wants to be your truck guy. He wants to be your car guy. He'll prove it to you if you make that call. If you end up in a Ford vehicle like I have, like a lot of people who listen to this podcast have, you'll be very pleased with the product. You'll be very pleased with the service after the sale. Delivery options, all the different things that make a car buyer, a car dealer special. Corey and the people at Clark Ford do that. 662-257-1900. Tell them that you heard about Clark Ford on this here Potato Log podcast, and you'll save $500 off your bottom line. Before we get started, a quick note to those of you who are pals with Chase. Pretty typically, we tape each morning between 8 and about 9:30. So when you're blowing his phone up between 8 and 9:30, you're disrupting the podcast. Just letting you know, if you'll wait till 9:30, it'll be far more productive. Thank you. This was a public service announcement.
Are you getting the sense that my phone is going off?
No, I can feel the damn thing going off. I'm just letting people know that we almost every day tape between 8 and 9:30. When you blow his phone up from 8 to 9:30, you are disrupting the product that you're listening to. Thank you.
The Times pick goes with Holy Zion last night for the headline. I'm looking at the front page of the Times pick right now. Or I guess the Times pick. I guess it could already be the Advocate, but I'm pretty sure it's the Times pick. So anyway.
The NBA, we'll go here quickly and then get off of it because that's not what people want. Give them this.
Okay.
The NBA knows it's not the NFL. The NBA knows that what makes the NBA kind of fun is the soap opera angle of the NBA.
It is the professional sports version of wrestling.
And so what they did was they shook up the draft the way that the lottery works. And it did two things. One, it really makes tanking stupid. And two, it makes this night fun. Because you don't know. They did it for the drama, for the unpredictability, and it delivered. Kudos to them. Give them credit, man, for knowing who you are, what your audience wants, and then delivering it.
I mean, knowing who you are is job one for any athletic department, any sports league, any person.
Yeah, yeah.
Period.
Yeah.
If you can, one thing, if it's a person, a company, a business, a team, a sport, an athletic department, anything, you get one thing, let me know who I am.
Yeah.
Let me have an identity. It's why, you know, right now as we kind of do transition this thing, it's where for a long time Ole Miss has kind of been like, well, we're sort of this. And there's – Ole Miss changes so much depending on what's being done to it. It's probably comes off a little harder than I mean it, but it's almost kind of in a reactionary identity. You know, when football's winning and you got access polls, hey, it really was a national brand. There's no doubt. But when that lags off a little bit, it's kind of, well, okay, now what are we? You know, we got – State's doing a really good job in-state from an academic standpoint. Now, you know, Mississippi State, they know who they are. They in a lot of different ways, from a baseball standpoint to an athletic department standpoint, even though I think their football team's on the way down. You know, Keenum's done a good job. But the point being, that's kind of where I see Ole Miss, when this is with the Chancellor hire coming up, this is with a lot of different things going on, had to really have an established identity and everything and going, hey, here's the mission, here's the plan, here's what we're trying to get, and here's how we go about doing it. And in the process, here's what we're good at, here's what we're bad at, and let's do this. And I think that's as important as anything. I think there's got to be a little more of a direction just overall, and that's not possible right now, frankly, because there is a complete and utter leadership vacuum in the university. Or void, not vacuum.
I wrote this in 10 Thoughts on Sunday. It's proving to be more and more true as the days pass. It's a big moment for Ross Bjork. And I'll be honest, I've had people tell me they don't think he has the power or the capital to make changes and do things. I disagree. It's not what I gather.
I don't get that sense at all.
I think he absolutely does. Now, I think it's imperative that he handles it right, whatever it may be, and I think we all know where it's headed at this point. At least I think it is. I made the analogy. Someone asked me late last night. I can't imagine. If I got three calls, I can't imagine what you got. Good God. I would have just turned my phone off. Remember when you were in, like, high school, college? You're in a relationship, and maybe it was whatever. There was a period there where it was great. It was new. It was fresh. It was magical, blah, blah, blah. You know, every time you kissed her, you thought the world was perfect. And then something shifted. Just didn't go right. Something happened. Maybe she got eyes for somebody else. Maybe she just got tired of you. Maybe
you got a little bored.
Maybe you just got a little bored. Maybe the parents started saying, you know, I don't really like that boy. Whatever the case may be, something just changed and you started sensing it. And you'd go out because it's Friday and you thought you were supposed to go out. Feels like that. To me, it feels like that.
I think everybody's going through the motions.
Yeah. Yeah. It's Friday. We're supposed to go out on Friday. We go to the pizza place on Friday, so I guess we'll go get pizza. And the pizza doesn't taste as good. And you sit there and you don't really talk anymore.
On your phone a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. Maybe you kiss because you're supposed to kiss. But it doesn't – the magic's gone. You can't wait to get home. We're there. It's an interesting time, really. Because I don't think that you wrote this last night. The hosting thing, we're past that now. There are PIs.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of tired of disclaimers, frankly. I understand them. And look, they go sweep Tennessee and go 18-12 and then get to Thursday or Friday. Yeah, sure, they're hosting. But there's nothing right now with the body language of this team telling me that's happening is the reason we're saying this. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's kind of like any of this conversation. I mean, I'm getting the question – and I don't blame anybody. I mean, it's my job. I'm getting the question 78 times a day, is Mike Bianco going to return as head coach next year? Well, tell me what they do in the postseason. I know what I think right now what they're going to do in the postseason, but, I mean, if he goes and finishes second in the College World Series, yes, he's back next year. If they go to a super regional, probably back next year. If they go anything less, I don't know. So that's my point. I mean, it's this deal where there's all these disclaimers, but what we're saying is going by what they're currently doing, there's no evidence that some pop is going to happen all of a sudden.
This was a team that was supposed to host a regional. This was a team that was supposed to go to a super regional. This was a team that was supposed to contend for a national top eight seed. This was a team that was supposed to contend to go to Omaha.
Yes. All correct.
Bottom line.
Yeah.
Season's not over. They've got a weekend left. They've got an SEC tournament left. They're going to at least play one game in Hoover, maybe more.
And barring a complete and utter collapse, they're going to be in the NCAA tournament.
I think they're in the tournament no matter what because they've got 15 SEC
wins. I mean, I think they are too, but I wouldn't want to go lose four more in a row.
No, I wouldn't want to leave it to the committee and go
15 and 15, 32 right. and 25.
Yeah, sure.
And now they're not – I don't think they're getting swept in Knoxville.
I don't know. We'll see. Regardless, the end of this, the metrics will have to change for us to be having a different conversation. And I think if there is no magical late May, early June, I think most people can feel what's coming.
Yeah, I mean, their RPI fell to 29 last night. They're 32 and 21. They are tucked in between Indiana and Indiana State in the RPI as of right now. I mean, I like the Sycamores well enough, but it's not exactly who you want to be next to in the RPI. You know, I just haven't sensed very good body language around this team the last – and I wasn't in Jonesboro last night. Mississippi State – even, you know, I give them tons of credit for that 10th inning against LSU on that Sunday. But, I mean, that still was a colossal screw-up there late in that game. They don't look like – I mean, just I talked to, like I said, I talked to Cooper Johnson at length. We talked to Will Etheridge. We talked to somebody else. I'm sorry, I'm just blanking. Ryan Olenek, somebody else. I don't know, I don't remember. It all runs together at some point. But, nonetheless.
Sure.
Talk to somebody else. And they look – tired's not the right word, even though it's the first word that came to my mind. They just look kind of beat down. They just look sort of they look tight. They look
I told you their
they
body
look like
language.
They are pressing constantly right now, even in practice. It just doesn't I've covered a lot of Mike Bianco teams. I've covered a lot of teams, period. We're around baseball teams a lot. The way the nature of the program is, we get better feel for them than we do any other sport on campus because we see them in much more casual environments. We see them much more, you know, amounts of time, and we just kind of hang out on days they're practicing. We're just standing there for
it's
an hour.
It's less controlled.
Yeah. You can do pretty much whatever you want for the most part. And that's a credit to Mike. He's allowed it to be completely open and have at it and whatever. I mean, he was on a day on Monday when he was basically getting ready – not basically, he was getting ready to yell at them. He was incredibly accommodating to me and said, hey, let me go yell at him basically, and I'll bring Cooper to you and you can talk to him. And I don't know. I just it looks like you mentioned it, and you were kind of half joking, half not joking. Maybe you weren't joking at all. They need a water gun fight. They need something to break.
I wasn't
this,
joking at
that,
all.
They need to break this big ice cap that is just over the top of their head right now. Because no matter what, they're more talented than they're showing. I don't know how talented they are or aren't. That's not the question at the moment. But I mean,
they're plenty good enough, man. Go capture the flag, and the winners get a pizza party.
Yeah, I mean
I'm totally serious.
Last night. It was about Rosen scoring position 1-for-14 or some crap. It was about a bullpen blowing. It was about having to pitch Karasi and Miller in that game, period. It was about only having 8 hits or whatever. It was about, even though if he did it himself for a drag, it was about Gray Kessinger bunting in the first inning. Even on base 40 straight games, hit the ball. It's Arkansas State. Just score, 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 score. It's all those things. It just – last night was about – last night's loss – was about the current mood and the current situation around the program. It was not about what was happening on the field. Because the only way you lose that game last night is if you're terrified of losing that game last
night.
Yeah. And that's what happened.
I didn't like – I told you this when you told me about it. The yelling at them on Monday, to me, felt out of touch. I didn't understand it. That's not the day to yell at them. And as a coach, yeah, there are days you yell at them. You know, we get these old school guys that post on the board, I'd run them till they puke. In May? No. No, that's not when you do that. They needed a water gun fight. They needed a day off. Get away from it. Because I noticed on Saturday. Was it Saturday when they finished? When they finished the series?
Sunday.
The game was on TV, and I turned it on. And they were ahead when I started watching. And their body language was terrible.
It's 2-1, top four. Two outs.
Their body language was bad. As that inning began, you could feel them. You could see them. Oh, God, here we go. I mean, it wasn't that people stopped trying or people stopped hustling or any of that stuff, but there was just this dread. I don't think you play baseball with dread. The Cubs did it in September last year. You could see it on the field.
Well, that was the deal. I mean, you know, that's what the weekend brought. And I may have already repeated this on the podcast, and if so, I'm just saying it again. I don't remember. I had some lines in my column commentary story that I wrote on Sunday about just how it looked like two different games going on in some ways, even though some of the scores were close and the games weren't all blowouts. You know, State was doing all the shifting, doing tons of shifts. Ole Miss couldn't find a way, usually, to beat the shift. They weren't putting the butts down. They weren't kind of trying to make State stop or counteract it for the most part, and Ole Miss has a lot of pull hitters. You know, Ole Miss was bunting down two on whatever night that was. I guess Friday, again, it's all running together. I don't know. And it just looked different. The reason I took it out is that State made lots of errors. State did not play well, they did not play clean defensively whatsoever. Mangum had two in two innings. But the more I thought about it, that actually proves the point even more. State made a lot of mistakes. Did not play well the majority of the weekend. They pitched their tail off. But
shortstop made a bad throw.
Yeah, did not play well defensively. And to Mac Wyatt's credit, that's what he said on the podcast last week, is when State loses because defense throws the ball over the place. And they
did.
Ole Miss didn't take advantage of it. It was okay, though, is my point. State stayed loose despite those things. There was a calmness. There was a confidence going on with them versus it does feel like, and Cooper Johnson says this, and I'll find the quote tomorrow, not today. Not right now. I'll find the quote. He goes, something along the lines, I'm not verbatim, that when something bad happens, they can't seem to overcome it, that it just keeps affecting them and they can't brush it off. State brushed it off nonstop, and that's partly why State is whatever they are, 18-9 and 42 and whatever. And
they showed
whatever.
Chris Lemonis in the dugout.
Yeah.
And again, I don't watch a lot of college baseball.
Yeah, you could not have picked Chris Lemonis out of a lineup prior to the weekend, I don't think.
When they showed him, I was like, well, he wears his hat funny, and he's kind of big. It's not what I anticipated. That being said, you could have just shown me a picture of him, no volume, and said, what is this person doing right now? I would have thought he was like in a rain delay. Just talking to people, laughing. Someone had said something, and he kind of laughed. He was chewing on some gum or something. He was all cool. It's all good. Not the end of the world. Nobody's dying here today. They show the Ole Miss bench, and it's just tense. Tense. I just don't – you wrote this last night. Baseball's meant to be played loose. They had David Ross mic'd up in Game 7 of the World Series. His last game of his life. Big moment. David Ross hits a home run off Andrew Miller, and they have him mic'd up, and he comes up to Tommy La Stella in the dugout, and he goes, hey, Tommy, I just hit a home run in Game 7 of the World Series, and Tommy La Stella starts laughing, and guys are laughing and stuff. You can't play that game tight. You can't play that game with dread. I coach a little league team, Chase. Don't get me wrong. I'm not comparing what I do to anything like this. I've never really coached a baseball game. But I coach a little team, and they're really good kids. And a lot of them are these kids that, like Carson, they try too hard. It means too much. And we had a bad first inning last night. Base running mistake. Really kind of a dumb base running mistake. And immediately the kid's like, I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I did that. I'm like, it's okay. Forget it. And then we had one kid at second base. The ball kept getting hit to him, and he kept – making basically errors. And we come off the field. I had to go visit the pitcher because he was getting frustrated. I'm like, I know you're not getting a lot of help right now. He goes, it's really frustrating. And I said, I know, but just relax. Just relax. Just let's get this one hitter, and then we'll all kind of collect ourselves. And so we got the hitter out, and I haven't had an in-game meeting all season. I don't believe in them. They're corny. But in this case,
they're nine.
Huh?
They're nine.
Well, they're 12. But oh, yes. Yeah, but I had a couple of them in tears. And I said, let's collect ourselves. And we got in a little meeting real quick, and I told him, I said, guys, that's kind of as bad as we can play. We're only down 2-0. It's okay. It's okay. Relax. Let's let it go. Move to the next inning. And I said, we're going to win the game. And they did. They kind of relaxed. And the next inning, the second baseman made 2 good plays. And I was like, see? And he smiles, and it's all good because it doesn't matter. I mean, everybody's going to get some pizza afterwards anyway, right? I mean, it's all good. But the point is that that's not a game. That's not a game to be played with this intensity, raging, boiling over fear and dread. It's baseball's supposed to kind of be fun. You spit sunflower seeds and stuff. It's a different game.
It's a 56-game season.
Yeah, and it's a long season, and you're going to have bad innings and bad games, and it's going to happen. And I just think that part of it is not – I think that's the part of that program that makes me think that the postseason stuff is not coincidence. The postseason stuff is about an environment around a program that is just – become not caustic, that's not the right word, suffocating.
Well, it's almost kind of Shakespearean here. You know, he gets his number one class in the country, and in a lot of ways that's kind of overplayed, but you can't use it to max effort PR wise then call it overplayed at the same time. That's not okay. And now, you know, and it's not fair to the kids, but it kind of is what it is. They are responsible for their own 3-season tenures. They're responsible for this season. Frankly, they've become responsible for the overall mood of the baseball program, and now they're responsible for the tenure of their head coach. That's a lot going on to a group of juniors that are a bunch of really, really nice kids that probably try too hard at times. I don't know. It's just interesting to me because I do feel like – whenever this does happen, again, maybe Mike goes to the College World Series and we all laugh at this in 2 weeks. I don't know. But point being, no matter if it's in 2 weeks or 10 years. And I mentioned this yesterday about how you can't put the scar tissue on the next staff or the next coach. There's got to be some sort of just overall cleansing because, I mean, this is even like players. I mean, these players are dealing with the failures of the former players in a lot of ways. And, I mean, it's just like at some point it's like, dude, chill out.
Got to be a reset button.
Yes, I'm saying it's like it would be where you just blew the house up and completely started from the new foundation. I need to get the mold out of here. I need to get the termites out of here. I need to just tear this bitch down.
What's gonna be interesting is I don't think we're going to get what we got in basketball a year plus ago.
And it's a little different situation.
It is.
I mean, they are 15-12 in the league right now.
Right.
That does bear repeating it a lot of times.
Sure, sure, sure. Absolutely. Andy Kennedy knew in that year when it was over. Okay, he went to Ross first a couple of times, is my understanding. And if I'm wrong, someone can correct me, and
yeah,
I'll be happy to hear the story here on the podcast. But I think Andy made it simple. Hey, this thing's kind of getting away from me. And then, hey, this thing's over. And then, hey, I'm done. We're done. It's over. Then, 30. This probably isn't going to be that clean if it doesn't. There's not some miracle run coming up, and you're right. The program's going to have to hit a reset button. It's going to have to change. People are going to have to leave the history stuff in the past.
You know,
that's so hard for people to do.
No matter what happens, win-loss standpoint, I mean, it's a lot of people were talking about it from last night. Radio interview last night, Mike with Keith Kessinger. And I know Mike as well as any media member knows him. I mean, he's incredibly professional, but kind of closed off. You don't really know a lot about his personal life, and we have no reason to know about his personal
life.
That's not a criticism. He's been nothing but fine to me.
Sure.
So point being, though, I know he cares. I know he stresses. I know that it's constantly on his mind that, frankly, he has not met the standards that he set himself for this program 19 years ago and has repeated over and over again. I think he thought that after 14, the door was down and it'd be just click, 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 finally, after all those missteps. There's no doubt those six super regional losses or whatever it is stick in his mind constantly.
Yeah.
Because that makes pressure on him, too. It builds stress on him that then he maybe throws out on others. Point being, you know, last night, and I know that in his mind he includes himself in this, but it really went after the players last night. And that's fine. They didn't play well. I get it. He would earn so many points to actually go, hey, it's on me to get them there.
That's
and you
job.
Just don't hear that from Mike. And like I said, I know him. This is not being a pilot. I mean, I'm saying if he doesn't get to the Super Regional, he's fired. I mean, like, but I know he cares and I know he thinks it, but he doesn't say it. And I think that's a huge PR misstep for him over the years where he never goes, hey, it's my responsibility to get them there. And hey, I did this, I did that. It's just, it's kind of always projected on them no matter what.
Yeah, it's the one thing I remember about Andy there at the end where he said, this is my product. This is my program. I've been doing it for 12 years, and this is unacceptable. I remember those words.
Yeah.
He could have blamed it on a lot of things. This is not about Andy Kennedy. It's just about there's a way to do it, and at this point, yeah, I think he's coaching for his job right now. And if the kids sense that that's what's weighing on you, they're just going to get tighter. I have an opinion here that is it's really uneducated. If I'm in his shoes, and I know it's over, there's one way to take the pressure off.
And I don't, but the thing is, being 15 and 12, I don't think they're there yet, is the thing. I mean, again, it's such a weird dynamic we're even discussing because in most situations, anywhere in the country, at any sport, you're three games above 500 in the best league in America.
Right.
Like, it's such a strange deal.
No, it is. It's weird.
It's still reality, but it's weird. It's strange. It's so much more complicated than just, No. It's odd.
Oh, listen. There's a scenario where they go sweep Tennessee and win a couple of games in Hoover. And
they're back on the bubble.
And they're back on the host bubble.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yet you still have this moment with this, that's a snapshot where you look at the program and go,
yeah, but
it's stale.
Yeah, it's just weird.
And that's what's weird.
Yeah.
And I don't know the answer to that.
Let's go to Ross Dellinger in a minute on the Patterson and Earhart Hotline. Before we do, I'll tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. Underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're getting local underwriting. Understands your market. A leader in condo financing and the float down option, which allows you to lock in the current rate. But if rates go down before you close, you get the lower rate. 662-234-2704 or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
Ross Dellinger is going to join us on the Patterson and Earhart Hotline. Patterson and Earhart, attorneys at law. They specialize in personal injury law and real estate law, but theirs is a general practice that can handle any of your legal needs. Look, if you are a listener of our podcast, if you're a RebelGrove.com subscriber, take advantage of that relationship by getting in touch with these guys. If you think you have a legal issue, if you think you have a legal issue upcoming, if you have a legal issue and you just don't really know how to handle it, and you're not ready to commit a bunch of money to an attorney and all that stuff, I get it, and they get it too. So give them a call and have a free consultation. That initial consultation is absolutely free, 662-526-1992. Call that number. You're going to either get John Calvin Patterson or Wes Earhart. You're going to get them within the same day, guaranteed. Patterson and Earhart, 662-526-1992 or PELaws.com. Podcast also brought to you by Pinnacle Trust. Pinnacle Trust based in Madison, Mississippi. It has clients in more than 20 states, has advisors in 3 states. It was founded in 1997. Pinnacle Trust provides detailed, specialized investment management, financial planning, retirement planning for individuals and businesses, and much more. At Pinnacle Trust, investing is treated like a commodity, and decisions are made using objective information and research, not emotions. So regardless of your level of wealth, Pinnacle Trust will sit down with you, they'll listen to your goals, study your expenses, they'll put forth a comprehensive, detailed financial and retirement plan that's built just for you. PinTrust.com, P-I-N-N, Trust.com. Mention you heard about Pinnacle Trust on the podcast, you'll get 10% off your first year's fee. Podcast also brought to you by the Weston Jackson. They are the sponsor of my mailbag, which will, good Lord willing, be released later today. Stop at the Weston Jackson. I know a lot of you do. If you are, if you have a corporate event, the Weston Jackson is a great place to hold that event. They've got room for your employees. They have ballroom space. They also have Soul Spa, and they have Estelle Wine Bar and Bistro where you can sip on a creative craft cocktail at the end of a long day. Enjoy their curated wine list. It's open for breakfast, lunch, dinner, and Sunday brunch. So gather at Estelle in the Weston Jackson tonight.
Podcast is brought to you by MasterCuts Lawn and Landscape, premium lawn care throughout northern Mississippi, but much more than that as well. Build your custom playground, retaining wall, pool deck, outdoor living spaces, paver patios, forestry mulching, and much more. The path to your dream backyard easier than you think. Go MasterCuts.com for a free quote or 662-607-7773. Now Ross Dellinger on the Patterson Earhart Hotline.
Ross, thanks for spending some time with us. Really appreciate it. I know you were in Oxford fairly recently, around that staff a little bit, the Matt Luke staff. Rich Rodriguez, Mike McIntyre wrote a great story that was published yesterday. Kind of, what were your thoughts about? I guess going in, what were your thoughts about how that arrangement would work? You know, two former National Coaches of the Year, two high profile head coaches on a staff with a guy that, to some degree, is already a little embattled just because of the situation he's in, and is a very still new head coach.
Yeah, it's an interesting situation, certainly to have two former Power Five head coaches as coordinators, both on the same staff. I mean, it doesn't happen very often. So I remember thinking when Rich Rod was hired in January that I got to get to Oxford to do this. Kind of this unique little story on how two major college coaches are now coordinators on the same staff. So, yeah, I went up there and, you know, it was about what I expected, you know, especially with Rich Rod, you know, it takes a little while, I think, for a former head coach in any level, but especially one at a major level like Rich Rod and McIntyre were, to adjust to be an assistant again, especially when you look at, you know, McIntyre hadn't been an assistant, I think, in 9 years, and Rich Rod in almost 20 years. So it was saying, you know, Rich Rod said things like, you know, at practice he'd catch himself, you know, barking at the defensive lineman or the water boy or something, and realize I'm not supposed to do that. It's not my job anymore. You know, Matt is the head coach. So certainly there's some, I guess, growing pains, if you will, being back for those two guys, being back as assistants. But it was interesting to kind of sit around and listen to them. And I was in their position in meeting rooms where clearly they're in control of the room. So they're back in control of a room. Maybe they're not in control of the team room. That's for Matt Luke. But they're in control of their own position room. And it was pretty clear, you know, that they were really comfortable kind of in that role. So it was interesting, you know, and I got to spend some time with Matt Luke, and we talked a lot about ego and how you know, as a head coach, you can't really have a whole lot of ego if you go and hire, you know, a big personality like Rich Rod and certainly McIntyre being kind of similar as far as, you know, having a major college head coach. So a lot of coaches probably wouldn't have done that, wouldn't have gone out and hired two former major college coaches like that. It just didn't happen very often. And I think it doesn't happen for two reasons. One, that the head coach is maybe too big of an ego to do that, to give the reins to those big personalities. And two, I think a lot of former head coaches who are fired don't drop back down to be an assistant. You know, they have their own ego. And in this case, it all came together. And, you know, will it work? I guess we'll have to wait and see.
I thought it was interesting. You got Matt Luke to say something on the record that some of us who are on the beat have been sort of trying to get on the record for a while, which is he had a conundrum of sorts. he has that interim season back in, was that 17, where he gets the job literally days before camp starts. They go 6-6, and at the end of that season, he finds out that he's getting the head job on a permanent basis and didn't have a hell of a lot of time to figure out what he was going to do, and he kept Wesley McGriff and he kept Phil Longo, and he kept them because he – and he said this to you on the record. It's something I'd heard off the record, obviously, but now that it's on the record, we can talk about it. You know, you went to war with those guys, if you will. You'd gone through this whole season where you'd said, hey, it's just us in this room. No one thinks we're gonna make it, and then you do. And then you – how do you justify saying, hey, thanks for helping me get the gig. You're fired. And I think he kept a couple of guys that he wasn't really sure of, wasn't sure he believed in, but he kept them because he thought it was kind of the right thing to do, and that gets held against him a lot now.
Yeah, it was interesting to hear him say that on the record. It was. I think, you know, Matt is unlike a lot of head coaches. I think a lot of head coaches are the kind of cutthroat guys, right? I mean, you get to that position as a major college head coach because, you know, you might not do things that other people would do, I guess. You know, it's that kind of aggressive cutthroat mentality, I guess. And, I mean, I saw it firsthand, guys. You know, I spent a lot of time covering LSU, and I went to cover Ed Orgeron's interim tenure, and it was very similar, I think, to Matt's. I mean, Ed took over in the middle of the season, but at the end of the year, Ed made that decision. You know, Ed made what you might say the cutthroat decision. You know, he fired his special teams coordinator one day after he got the job. He fired his running backs coach and his receivers coach maybe a month later, a month and a half later after signing day. He made the cutthroat decision. Matt did not. And like you said, you can agree with that or disagree, but it does say a lot about Matt and why we're sitting here and we just talked about it, how that guy, unlike other head coaches, will go out and bring in two former big wig kind of head coaches with big personalities. Matt will do that, you know, and I think it all ties in about what kind of personality, kind of guy Matt is. He is a little unique. He's not that cutthroat guy, you know, as much. But as we all know, Neil, when you're in this profession and in this position that Matt is in, you become cutthroat, and you just kind of have to. That's the way the profession kind of is, the industry kind of is. And you saw that he obviously made changes, you know, at the coordinator positions, in other positions this past after this season, because he realized, you know, he kind of had to. But it does kind of give a glimpse into his kind of personality, I guess, is that he felt so indebted to those guys after the 2017 season that even though he didn't necessarily feel comfortable around them, and even though he might have thought he had his doubts, he just kept them around as almost like a thank you. And a lot of coaches wouldn't have done that. Matt did that, and it was interesting. Again, also something unlike other coaches. He said that on the record. You know, he didn't mind kind of sharing that information with me.
What did you kind of sense, Ross, from the standpoint of maybe the motivations of Rich Rod and Mike to, you know, pick this program as their way to sort of rehabilitate, stay in the industry, and obviously get back to head coaching jobs after this stint is over?
Well, for McIntyre, it was pretty obvious. You know, when you start getting to know his history, and when I sat down and talked with him about a half an hour or so, it came out pretty quickly why he's back in Oxford, because he loves Oxford. And he went to middle school in Oxford when his dad was offensive coordinator at Ole Miss. Then he was back on Cutcliffe's staff for some pretty good years with David there in Oxford. It's pretty clear he enjoys Oxford. He likes Matt Luke, and Matt, I think Matt kind of looks at him as a mentor, one of the mentors in his life, and they're kind of old buddies. So that was pretty obvious why he chose to come back to Ole Miss, because I think he had probably several options, just like Rich Rod. And in Rich Rod's case, is a little different. You know, he's never been in the SEC, so of course he's never certainly been in Oxford, Ole Miss. And so I think more of that, and Rich Rod had options too, but as I wrote in that story, because of how his Arizona tenure ended with the harassment claim and all that, I think a lot of schools were cool on him. And in fact, you know, I think he had a couple of head coaching jobs that just didn't work out, because they kind of maybe saw him as damaged goods a little bit. He's got something to prove, you know, and it's something I couldn't really fit into the story. And Rich Rod didn't tell me this, but Ross Bjork did. And that one of the first things Rich Rod said when they contacted him was, man, I want to coach in the SEC. I've been always wanting to coach in the SEC, you know, so I want this job. I want to be in the South where it's warm. I want to be around really good recruits. So it's pretty clear he wanted to get into the Southeast as soon as possible, and Ole Miss kind of provided that, number one, and they provided that. And number two, they did enough digging, I think, on his situation and the harassment claim and how he was fired to learn that honestly that he was mostly innocent, you know, for the better part. He was cleared of most things. You know, he says it was an extortion attempt because of the involving the affair that he had, and Ole Miss dug on it. Ross Bjork and his crew kind of went to work on making sure everything was good there. And I think a lot of schools wouldn't have done that, you know, for number one. And then, of course, a lot of schools that were after Rich won in the Southeast, and I think it's pretty clear that's where he wanted to be.
Kind of switching gears a little bit, I'm just kind of curious. You've got, obviously, plenty of knowledge about LSU and everything going on. You get any sense, I'm going to kind of switch sports on you too, just because I'm curious, any sense of what's going on with basketball and Will Wade and everything down there?
Well, it's been crazy, man. I spent about 5 years or so covering LSU and covering some crazy stuff. And it just seems like they keep one up in themselves in saying things that go on down there. You know, this Will Wade stuff, the whole Joe Oliva stuff, just the last 2 months have really been something down there. And I'm not down there anymore. I've since moved to D.C., but I was down there when all the crazy, real crazy stuff happened and was back. Thought it was a big, kind of felt like I was back as a beat writer filing public records requests on stuff and in that situation. You know, as it is right now, I think the NCAA, just like they're in Arizona, I mean, they've been in Baton Rouge. They sat in on some of the interviews with Will, the interviews with a couple of his players. But it does seem like the FBI stuff at least has died down. You know, we're going to find out some more at SEC spring meetings. I think we'll find out a little bit. You know, the ADs are supposed to talk certainly a little bit about it. Will is supposed to be there. It'll probably be potentially his first public comment, so that'll be interesting to hear from him. You know, Scott Woodward, the new AD, he's really walking a fine line publicly and talking about Will, saying things like, you know, he's our coach for now, or he's our coach until he's not our coach. So not really a full support necessarily, just really walking the line there. And, of course, you guys know the news that we broke through the public records is Will signed new amendments to his contract, agreed on them to be reinstated. And they're amendments that, you know, are pretty paint a picture of a school and a coach that, you know, aren't necessarily great buddies anymore. It just kind of paints that picture to me. You know, basically, if any NCAA violation or anything comes down that involves him, he is immediately fired for cause and is paid nothing. So he agreed to all that. So it is a bizarre situation, but for LSU standards, it's just about normal, I guess you could say.
Along those lines, and again, I'm not asking you to go back and be an LSU beat writer, but I think you were in Baton Rouge still when the story broke about the Our Lady of the Lake scandal and the embezzlement, and there were some ties with LSU, and LSU's compliance people were notified. Have you heard anything more about where that story is or where that story could go? When you read it at first, it sounds awfully salacious, and then it's kind of gone away for a while.
Yeah, you know, I was in Baton Rouge then. I remember working that story that week, and knowing when exactly it was going to come out. I was kind of prepared, and I was in communication with the LSU about, you know, hey, I know this, and I know it's coming out, and you guys probably ought to release a statement to me. And they ended up doing that, you know. And basically the statement was, well, I guess, you know, a lot of your listeners probably know the backstory, but Our Lady of the Lake is a hospital down there. It has a kind of a charity wing or fundraising wing, I guess is more appropriate. And the head of the fundraising wing of the charity is a big guy in Baton Rouge, big guy around LSU athletics, does a lot of fundraiser, gives back, does fundraisers for the hospital with coaches, which is all legal and everything. But he got arrested, or not arrested, I should say. I don't think he's gotten arrested yet, but that feels like it's coming. But he got fired by the hospital for embezzling funds. And in an internal investigation, revealed that he embezzled, you know, almost like a million, I guess maybe two-thirds of $1 million or something like that from the hospital. And just because of his strong link with LSU athletics and the football coach and all the stuff, the investigation did turn up two instances where LSU athletics was just involved with him in some way where it came up in this investigation. And I think LSU investigated both of the issues. One of them was not an NCAA violation, according to the NCAA, sentenced to the NCAA. The other one might be, and it is currently, I guess, being, you know, worked by the NCAA in conjunction with LSU. And basically what happened is a dad of a recruit who ended up signing with LSU, a player, worked at the hospital and got a job at the hospital right around the same time as the player began and enrolled at LSU. So you can, you know, see how that might draw some attention from the NCAA. And we all know, of course, that happens at a lot of schools where daddy and mama end up getting a job somewhere around the city, right when their kid enrolls. But this was uncovered. This was a little different since it was uncovered in an embezzlement investigation. So that is the last I heard. That is it's still being worked by the NCAA in LSU, and I guess we'll just have to wait and see on that one.
Yeah, I always find it interesting that I think it's purely coincidence that a kid moves from, I don't know, say Hawaii to Alabama, and his parents get jobs suddenly in Alabama. it's interesting when that happens, but it's just a coincidence. It's
yeah, that's right. That's right, Neil. Yes, that's right, exactly.
It's happenstance, really.
Yes, right.
Last thing, Ross. Obviously, the draft lottery was last night. What does that do for the Pelicans? What does that do for the city of New Orleans? Does it make it a little more viable down there? Because it's obviously been a franchise scuffling a little bit. It's just sort of your read from your time being there.
That's just certainly huge for them. You know, New Orleans is trying its best to be an NBA city. You know, I mean, they've done all these things, you know, Anthony Davis, and they've switched out coaches and GMs and whatever, and they, you know, got this. Well, now it's not a new arena, but at one point it was, and they're trying to be this NBA city, man. But it's an NFL city, you know, and it's a college football kind of city. And until they win significantly, it's not gonna turn away from that, you know? And so certainly getting someone like Zion could help them get there. But I do see a lot of people saying, and this is something that popped in my head too, is, wait, I mean, they had Anthony Davis and they didn't win. So they're going to have Zion and they're going to win now. I mean, it, you know, maybe, but you know, it's just, it's a place that, you guys know, you know, it's a football kind of city. It's a party football city. And I went to one, I've only been to one game down there at the Pelicans. And I mean, you know, it was right in the middle of a season. It's not like they were, you know, 10 and 80 or something. I mean, they it was right in the middle of a season. They were kind of in contention a few years ago. And I mean, the place was literally one third full. I mean, it was crazy. And it just, that's just the way it is down there. But obviously Zion will maybe change things. And it's certainly big to kind of maybe get this thing lifted off the ground, you know, and maybe turn the city of New Orleans into a NBA town. Who knows?
Yeah, it'll be interesting to watch because this kid is so, Zion Williamson is so marketable. You're gonna see a lot of Pelicans gear all over the place. People just buying Williamson jerseys and all that stuff. Yet I'm with you until I see it change the ticket office in New Orleans. It's hard to believe that it's. I don't know. They're interesting. The Pelicans have a real opportunity here. We'll just see what they do with it. Well, listen, really appreciate the time. Hope you're enjoying your new home there in D.C. and look forward to seeing you down the road.
Yeah, guys. Thanks for the time.
Thanks to Ross for joining us this morning. Every Ole Miss baseball fan can probably use a little CBD in your life. Topical salves, the oil under your tongue, or the soft gel capsules, whatever way you'd like to go about just feeling a little better, taking a little edge off. There's no crazy side effects. It is not not going to give you any crazy feelings that you're thinking there's a possibility because it's not made with marijuana. It's completely legal in all stages. It's FDA approved. And when you do it with GNM, you know you're getting the correct potency, the correct amounts of everything for you. 662-236-2222. While you got them on the horn, go ahead and tell them you want to move your medications over from wherever else you are using as your pharmacy. They will take care of that. They'll deliver local to your home or workplace, and they offer MedSync to give you the medicine you need when you need it. Again, 662-236-2222.
Podcast also brought to you by John Edwards of Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you've been thinking about that golf trip with the guys, an anniversary trip she'll never forget, whatever the case may be, get in touch with John. He's part of Virtuoso. It's a worldwide network of travel partners that allows John to supply his clients with added values and unique benefits that are simply not available to other travelers. John traveled the globe for 37 years before he got into the travel business. He knows the extra attention that's needed to make a special trip one that creates a lifetime of unique memories. So give him a call, give him some parameters, give him a budget. He'll give you some options. And know this, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. It's a podcast that's also sponsored by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. Grenada Nissan has a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles. They have great lease deals as well. I've done business with Grenada Nissan for more than a decade. I can tell you they're super professional, very courteous. Their service is fantastic. You'll love your product. You'll love being a part of the Grenada Nissan family. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. AM are brought to you by Harry Alexander. Harry is an Oxford-based REMAX legacy realty agent. He's also a big part of Savannah Square. It's a new 9-acre development, 7/10 of a mile from the Oxford downtown square, conveniently located east of North Lamar, just a short stroll from the Midtown Shopping Center and all of the establishments that entails. Savannah Square will initially consist of 32 standalone detached structures ranging in size from about 1,100 square feet to about 2,400 square feet. The model home is available for your inspection. It's located at 215 William Street. I've seen the model home. These homes have wonderful layouts, impeccable finishes. You can inspect them at the William Street home. Just get in touch with Harry. Take a look at the model and get more information about this great new development while they are still available. You can view more at SavannahSquareOxford.com or give Harry Alexander with REMAX Legacy Realty Agent a call or text at 662-801-5621. and we're brought to you by Oxford University Bank. OUB, locally owned and operated right here in Oxford. When you deposit money at OUB, that money and the vast majority of the bank's profits go right back into the Oxford community. OUB is home to Kasasa. It's the absolute best cash checking account. OUB pays customers 2.5% interest on their balances up to $50,000. And with Kasasa, ATM fees nationwide are refunded. To learn more, go to liveoxfordbankoxford.com or call 662-234-6668. OUB is FDIC insured.
So back to the NBA lottery last night for the draft. Let's see, just giving you a quick rundown of the picks. New Orleans the 1, Memphis the 2, the Knicks the 3, the Lakers the 4, the Cavs the 5, the Suns the 6, the Bulls the 7, Atlanta the 8, Washington 9, Atlanta 10, Minnesota 11, Charlotte 12, Miami 13, Boston 14. That came from Sacramento via Philadelphia. Statement. New Orleans and Memphis, obviously the two biggest winners. What will the Knicks do with the third pick?
I mean, after they get through breaking everything,
it was kind of awkward, you know, because they're all out there like on that little podium deal, like on the little tiers, and Alvin Gentry just losing his mind when it gets announced last night. Just losing his mind around all the other guys.
It was a big moment for the Pelicans.
A lot of raw emotion just radiating from him.
A big moment for the Pelicans. Last season could not have gone worse for the Pelicans.
Like, a year after, they had a little buzz about them. They were kind of fun 2 years ago.
Yeah, and they were awful last year, the Davis stuff, and now here they are. They still have Anthony Davis under contract for another year. That's priority one. You got to figure that out.
So what are you doing?
Well, I'm talking to him.
What do you want to do?
What do you want to do? Obviously, see, here's the thing about NBA contracts. There's not a whole hell of a lot to negotiate here. They can say to Anthony Davis, okay, so here's the deal. We can give you the Supermax. It's like $245 million.
Sure.
Whatever. That's what we can give you. We can't give you more than that. And we're not going to give you less than that. We're going to give you the Supermax. Nobody else in the league can give you that. So why don't you and your agent go take a couple hours and talk about it and tell us whether you want to do it or not. And if he comes back and says, you know what, that sounds like a great deal. Cool. Let's have a press conference. And then if he says, you know what, I just, the damage is done. I don't want to be here. Okay, we're trading you.
Yeah.
And then you call Boston, and you call the Lakers, who have the fourth pick, and you call the Knicks, who have the third pick, and you see if you can't work out a deal for Anthony Davis and see if one of those teams will gamble that Davis will take the trade and then sign a long-term deal with you. So if you're New Orleans, look, worst case, you're going to have Zion Williamson and a haul from Anthony Davis that might include another pick. Best case, you have Anthony Davis suddenly happy on a long-term deal, and you have Zion Williamson.
And suddenly you're all right.
And suddenly basketball in New Orleans is fun. So if you're the Pelicans, it's win-win. But conversation one is not with Zion. Conversation one is with Anthony Davis.
Well, there's no conversation with Zion.
No, you're taking him. Hey, what size jersey do you wear? That's that conversation. But you got to sit down with Anthony Davis, and you've got about 2 weeks to figure this out. And here's the Supermax offer. Do you want it or not? It's not complicated. I love the people that are like, well, you know, you really have to take – no, you don't. Well, the damage has been done. The PR, shut up. You hold a press conference where Anthony Davis goes, look, last year was rough. I probably didn't handle it all that great, but I'm here now. I signed a 6-year deal. I'm here, baby.
Short memories. Be all right.
Everybody be like, you know what? Cool.
All good. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, the people that make that out. What now? And then, and here's what's interesting. Memphis with the number 2 pick. The pick is Ja Morant. But now you got to decide, what do you do with Mike Conley? What's the trade market for 31-year-old Mike Conley, who is an all-star caliber player? Brian O'Ringer was on the Beer Garden yesterday, and he said, you trade him. You absolutely trade him now. So, again, we said this at the beginning, NBA credit, they know that drama sells. They know that people love drama, and they deliver it in spades every offseason. It's what baseball can't figure out. July the 1st is going to be crazy in the NBA, and everybody knows it. Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, what's going to happen with Anthony Davis? What's going to happen with Mike Conley? All this stuff. People love that stuff. It's good. It's good TV. It's good radio. It's good internet fodder. And they'll deliver it. July 1, 2, and 3. The NBA knows, hey, we have a window because the NFL camps are going to start in late July, and that's going to steal the show because the NFL's the king. So we're not going to drag our postseason into August. No, hell no. We're going to do it in July while the NFL's taking their vacation. I mean, give the NBA credit, man. You can love the NBA. You can hate the NBA. The NBA doesn't play a game on Thanksgiving. Why? They know no one's watching.
Yeah. It bows to the king, and then it binds the next day. It
bows to the king, and then they start up the next day.
Yeah.
And then on Christmas Day, they go, hey, we're going to play all these big games on Christmas, and we're going to admit that no one's really paying attention to us until right about now. Football, the bowls haven't really started. I know the early bowls have started, but the real bowls haven't started. And it's not quite the NFL playoffs. And we're going to love it when Christmas falls on a Monday or a Tuesday because we won't have any NFL to compete against. And we're going to own that day. That's our day. They know, like you said, the NBA knows precisely who it is. And it works.
I was laughing earlier because I love baseball projections because it's all about clicks. I mean, it's credit to them because nobody knows. It's all a complete and utter crapshoot until the selection committee actually gets together. So they just figure out ways they can trigger fan bases is all they do. And they get the seeds kind of right, but otherwise it's a mess. They have Ole Miss, the 2 seed. They have them opening against number 3 seed Virginia. And then they have them in the Greenville, North Carolina regional playing East Carolina. We probably should go.
Yeah. I'm thinking.
Oh, gosh. LSU back in a host capacity, I see here. And part of that is projection because, like I said, the schedule's kind of weird in the last week of the year. I mean, Ole Miss, honestly, is one of the better-suited teams because they play Tennessee, who's not great. I mean, there's some wins there.
Well, someone's got a host.
That is kind of the problem, honestly. There's kind of this gap where it's weird, where if somebody will just play well down the stretch, you can lock it up without a whole lot of help. I see Vanderbilt has overtaken UCLA for the number 1 national seed now.
Amazing.
Poor guys.
I don't know how they do it.
Vanderbilt 1, UCLA 2, Arkansas 3, State 4, Georgia 5, East Carolina 6, Louisville 7, Texas Tech 8, Stanford 9, Georgia Tech 10, Oklahoma State 11, Miami 12, Oregon State 13, UC Santa Barbara, which is a joke, 14, Louisiana State 15, and North Carolina 16 in Chapel Hill. UC Santa Barbara put in a bid to host their regional in Vegas.
Oh, that's creative.
Yeah. They want to use the Vegas stadium for their regional. So if they got to a super regional, they'd come back home. They don't have a stadium for regional weekend.
I'm kind of for them now.
Just put it out there and see what happens.
Let's go to Vegas.
It would be a regional, according to Baseball America, consisting of NC State, Arizona State, and Wright State. Hey, send Ole Miss to Vegas. We'll go to there. Go to Santa Barbara.
I'm in on that.
You in on that?
Yeah.
Okay. A&M in as a 2 seed. Auburn in as a 3 seed. Just kind of scrolling. Whatever. Doesn't matter. Tennessee in as a 3 seed. Southern Miss in as a 3 seed. Missouri in as a 2 seed. God, Missouri's done a great job.
He has.
He's done a phenomenal job.
Really has.
Yeah, just a note there. So
I mean, he's the antithesis of Tim Corbin. He truly has 11.7. That's all he's
maybe. Got. Maybe. He might have 11.7.
Maybe, yeah. That AD might go, hey, we're going to cut you down to 8.7. Could you not tell anybody?
Because you know he gets up every day and, like, somebody in the SEC is like, we're putting $70 million into our baseball facility. And he just kind of looks around and goes, eh, okay, sure.
He's like, we just signed a deal with, like, Russell for $7.
They have a tie because they had to take a commercial flight out of Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, literally, it affected the conference.
Yeah, they literally, when they said we're going to miss our flight, they meant it. No, seriously, we gotta go through, security. You been to Bush lately? We gotta go.
They affected the SEC schedule because they had a commercial flight.
Yeah,
we have to go. We can't pay these like advances, like they like the these missed flight charges here.
There's like 50 of us. I mean, we can't all.
We'll just send the reserves back on the flight.
Yeah, no, we gotta go.
The rest of them, we'll get it.
We literally have to go.
Yeah,
it's been real.
Appreciate it, Axe. Anyway, not much more to be said. We'll see what the weekend brings. Ole Miss, Tennessee tomorrow from Knoxville. So
I have a couple of things to touch on real quick.
Okay.
One, and this is to set this up. You know who Ben Zobrist is?
Yeah, he won a fantasy baseball offer league for me in like 2003.
Ben Zobrist's wife, Julianne, has filed for divorce. He has been on a leave of absence from the Cubs. Obviously, a divorce filing is public record. Credit to the media who cover the Cubs. They have left it alone because it's a personal issue. It's not a baseball issue. The people who respond to the news with, well, I mean, why aren't you playing baseball? The people who say, well, is he the first player to go through a divorce during the season? The people who say, in what other area of life do you get 2 weeks of leave because of a divorce? Have some humanity. To those people, I say congratulations. You win the crap take of the day. It is brought to you by Scoopers Pet Waste Removal LLC. Everyone loves their pets most of the time, but no one loves stepping in their pet's stuff. And tracking that stuff back into your house is a nightmare on a number of levels. Scoopers will go into your backyard, your apartment complex, your condominium, and pick up what no one really wants to pick up. And for $10 of cleaning, Scoopers will clean up your yard. They'll do it on your schedule, whether that's weekly, biweekly, or a one-time service. No contracts are required. You can cancel at any time. If you have multiple dogs, it's just $2 for each additional dog. So if you own a home, a condo, or an apartment complex in Oxford, and you like to deal with a lot less crap, call Scoopers at 662-506-2754 or simply send them an email at scoopers.oxfordpetwaste@gmail.com to get your cleanings scheduled today. Don't forget, I know a neighbor of mine, a good friend of mine, picked up his first pair of Blue Deltas yesterday. Liked them so much that he bought two more. That's kind of how it works. You put them on and you immediately start thinking about the next pair. If you were anticipating getting a fitting in April and you were going to head to the Blue Delta 5-year anniversary party and life happened and you just didn't make it, fret not. You can still get a pair of Blue Deltas fitted just for you, even if you're not coming to Oxford until football season rolls back around. These guys travel the country. They do trunk shows. They fit sports teams. They do golf tournaments. They're in New York a couple weeks ago. They were in Chicago last week. They've been in Orlando recently. Jackson, Birmingham, Atlanta, Dallas, San Angelo, Texas. A lot of places. I'll start pulling up their Instagram here in the next day or two and give you some updates on where they've been. But if you want them to come to you, they will. Get in touch with them by direct message on Instagram or Twitter at Blue Delta Jeans, or send them an email, info@bluedeltajeans.com, and one of the Blue Delta stylists will reach out to you with details. Football season, as you know, not that far away. 7 South Tailgating is the premier tailgating service provider at Ole Miss, although they offer your standard tailgating service, such as tent, table, and chair setup and breakdown. There's much more. They'll set up, break down, and store your own personal gear, or you can rent the gear from them. They offer cooler, ice, beverage service, TV, satellite, generator service, storage bins for supplies and decor, chandeliers, tablecloths, hay for ground cover, anything you can think of, they offer it. So give them a call or go online today for a detailed quote customized to your specific needs. 662-321-1682 or visit 7southtailgating.com.
We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the show. We'll still probably be talking about this a little bit. But again, Ole Miss, Tennessee tomorrow night from Knoxville. So we'll talk to you tomorrow.